Welcome to Chipotle. What would you like to eat today?
I think I'm just gonna have a chicken burrito bowl, please.
Oh, chicken burrito bowl is a good choice, but I must first see your papers.
My papers? You mean like money?
No, your vaccine paper. Do you have them?
No, I just have this wad of Benjamins, but I don't have any vaccine papers.
You cannot eat here if you do not have your vaccine paper.
Are you serious? Like, you can't just, like, make me a burrito?
No. Avita Zen.
Okay.
Avita Zen.
All right. Well, fine. I'm going to go patronize a business that supports my values and doesn't try to enforce tyrannical stuff on me. Screw you guys. All right. Let me drive across the street. Vroom, vroom. Here we go. Hi.
Hello, sir. How are you today?
I've had a bit of a rough day, but I'm hoping that this can brighten it up.
Oh, I'm a shine of light when darkness comes. In-N-Out is there.
Gee, thanks, In-N-Out. Will you take my order even though I don't have papers?
I would love to. I'm actually glad to do it. I will not be a slave to the bureaucratic people in San Francisco.
I'm against slavery, too. Thanks for not making me a slave to the bureaucrats.
Never. Here's your double-double, animal style.
You knew exactly what I wanted without even me ordering. Thank you so much.
That's the power of friendship at In-N-Out.
In-N-Out's the best ever.
Thank you.
And scene. All right.
That was really good, Taylor.
Yeah, hang on. I forgot our laugh track. Oh, boy.
Thank you. That might have been hard for many people to listen through. I understand, okay? But we can all agree my German accent was pretty good. And we went to In-N-Out today because we are supporting an organization that supports freedom. I am very big on supporting organizations that support us, okay? People that have products that are made in the USA and not in China. People who have conservative values. Companies that love Christ. All of these types of companies I am going to support. I am a big fan of boycotting, okay? When you look at America right now, the reason why these big corporations are able to get away with what they do is because people who might hate the values of one of these big corporations still give their money to these big corporations, okay? Something like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola comes out and says, hey, we're having this employee training, and if you're white, you're bad. They said try to be less white. That's why I have this Woke-a-Cola in the back. It's something we made specifically for Coca-Cola.
Yeah, people get mad and they think that's a real Coke bottle, but it is a prop from a skit that we did. I'll drop the link in the comments, called Woke-a-Cola, and it's very funny. And go watch it because we're making fun of these people who hate our values.
Yes. And why would I give money to Coca-Cola? Why would I buy Coca-Cola if they hate me because I'm white? It makes absolutely no sense. I don't understand why people continually support organizations that don't support their values, okay? Excuse me, that makes it really tough to get things done in this country. Now listen, I get it. We're not all going to live lives where every single day we are going and buying from Christian or conservative companies like that. I understand. You have to, you know, be able to look past that and say, hey, I'm not always going to be able to do that. But it takes a level of trying that we are saying, I'm going to try my best to buy from these companies and support organizations that actually support my values. No one's going to be perfect with it, okay? That's understandable. No one's going to. But we can at least try our best and say, hey, I know that some of these companies are absolutely egregious. And so what In-N-Out did, they basically said in San Francisco, they were like, we are not going to be a slave to these bureaucrats who want us to see if everyone is vaccinated in our restaurant, right? And so they're moving locations, right? Where are they going to exactly? Do you remember?
I think it's just their San Francisco one's closing, and they're just staying open everywhere else and not probably hopefully having the same policy in all their other locations until the government shuts them down too.
And I hope so. I mean, November 7th, you guys, if you live in Los Angeles like we do, you understand that November 7th.
It's a day
7th,
that will live in infamy.
Yes, seriously. Remember, the 7th of November is what it really is now. That is the day that we get vax mandates here in Los Angeles. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what Taylor's going to do. I don't know what some of us other people are going to do when that happens. It's a very scary prospect to know that anywhere I go, people are going to be asking me for vaccine papers. To go get a haircut, I'm going to have to wear this In-N-Out hat every single day because I won't be able to get a haircut.
And we opened with the Chipotle story. That was a real story that happened to you in New York, right?
Yeah, it happened in New York. I tried to go get a burrito in New York, and some guy shamed me for not having my vaccine papers. How ridiculous is that? You're going to get a burrito. And this guy comes up and is like, oh no, you can't get a burrito. No, the guy who is like 18 years old who's probably this is his first job working at Chipotle. I'm not trying to shame the guy. I'm just trying to tell you the level of, you know, potential education this guy might have. Why does this guy get to ask me about my financial or medical records? Why does he get to ask me that? How disgusting and unfair is that? Why does the guy who works at Chipotle get to know whether or not I'm vaccinated? That makes no sense. I mean, the guy who's doing my hair, who's cutting my hair, gets to know if I'm vaccinated or not? Gets to know about my medical history?
Yeah.
That is a complete breach of privacy.
And you mentioned the level of education, but how about the level of just indoctrination by the culture we're in right now, where, you know, if you're a Chipotle worker and you have a conscience and moral fiber, then you have to stand up to your employer and say, I'm not going to enforce this on the people that are coming into the restaurant, right?
Right.
I mean, so it's not just, you know, oh, he's dumb. It's like, oh, these mandates are forcing people to draw lines in the sand and take sides. If you work at an establishment that now is requiring people to show their papers in order to order a burrito, like, what do you do there? And it's clear what this guy chose, but I don't necessarily think that was the right decision. But it's just wild to me that they're just forcing this stuff down. But what I think this, what In-N-Out's standing up for freedom it shows that companies that refuse to comply with this, it's giving me hope that, hey, there is a way to turn the tide here. Because if every company did this, then they would relent. And we saw that with Southwest. If employees everywhere refuse to enforce this type of stuff, then they would go back on it. They're cowards at the end of the day. They're not used to being confronted. They're not used to facing the consequences of their idiotic bureaucratic policies. And if we make enough noise, I do think that the tide can change. And we have to hope so. Otherwise, what are we going to do, you know?
Amala, what do you think about this? Another great point from Amala. Really happy to have her here. She's always quite the lively
one. She's a little quiet today.
You know, she's a little sick today. Okay, she's trying to build up natural immunity right now.
On purpose. No, where's Amala, Will? People are asking in the chat.
Amala is in Winona, which I don't know where that is. Michigan, right? I think that's where she is.
No, it's on the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Minnesota. Okay. So she's in Minnesota.
Winona, Minnesota.
She is going to speak at Winona State. That's right, the university?
I think so, yeah.
And apparently she's going to have some protesters tonight, which is quite
I think
hilarious.
That caught a lot of people off guard when we got to that shot. We didn't set it up in any way. Just like, what do you think, Amala? If you're listening and not watching, there is a skeleton in Amala's spot for Halloween. Actually, intern James, you should turn that on when we get a second.
Yeah. You know, we got to say, thank God we can finally get some peace and quiet around here.
I know.
You know?
I mean,
to not have...
Just all that female nagging was just terrible.
It just destroys you. It's demoralizing. Today's a boys' day, all right? All the people who are watching, today's boys' club.
Boys' day.
Today's boys' day. I love boys' day. It's a lot of fun. But Amala is at Winona State right now. She's going to give a speech in a couple of hours. I believe she had some protesters. There were some problems with the university coming out and saying that they think that what she is doing, what PragerU is doing, is hate speech and hateful. I believe trying to get her canceled. She just did a live video. I missed some of it because Taylor and I were filming before, but I would hope that she would post that live video and you guys could go and watch it. And she'll also be back on the show, I'm sure, soon enough, and she'll talk about it and let everyone know what happened. But she's out there, so we have this skeleton to replace her today.
Speaking of live videos, by the way, we also went to In-N-Out today for lunch. I mean, that's where we got these awesome hats. But we went live on PragerU's Instagram while we were there and talked about the whole situation. So you can check that out as well at PragerU's Instagram.
Yeah. I just think that it's tough to know that if the things we're doing is working when we like Southwest, that's a definite win. I think that there are definite wins in the private sector, but I think in the public sector, when it comes to the government, I don't know if there's going to be as many wins. And that's a sad thing, because I think that the government has gone so tyrannical and bureaucratic that even if all these police officers and all these people in the State Department, all these other people come out and say, we don't comply, we don't want to do this, they are going to continue to stick with their guns and do exactly what they are supposed to do. And that's a really tough thing to have to see, that things are going to continue to get so bad in our government. And the worst part is that people are going to continue to trust the government regardless. This is one thing that I ask people, a question for you guys to just go and ask people. It's a very easy question. Just ask people if they trust the government. Do you trust the government? Pretty much 99% of people will say no. But then you ask them, why do you want it to get bigger? Why do you want to give them all this power? Why do you want the government to be able to do all these things in your life if you don't trust them whatsoever? You want to turn healthcare into the DMV? You want to turn the school system into the DMV or this, any of this stuff? That's essentially what it is. Public schools, like I said the other day, I mean, it's essentially just a DMV for your kids. You're sending your kids to the DMV all day. That's really what is going on. That's government control for you. That is government tyranny right now. We are seeing a level of tyranny in this country that I don't think we've ever seen before. I've read a lot of American history. I've seen a lot of things that's gone on. And I can tell you for a fact from reading about it and seeing what's happening that there's never been a level of tyranny and I think evil in our leadership that has ever happened in America before. I think that we have more evil in our leadership and it is more tyrannical than ever before. And this isn't just the current presidential administration, okay? I'm not just talking about that. We're not just talking about people with a D next to their name. We're talking about people as well with an R next to their name. We're talking about the swamp. We're talking about the corporate special interests. We're talking about the bureaucracy. We're talking about all of these people who are in cahoots to make sure that you have no idea what's going on, first of all. You're pit against your neighbor. And that you keep buying meaningless goods from companies that hate you. That is the war that we are at right now. And that's an unbelievably scary thing. Because when these people have so much control, it makes it incredibly difficult to try and break yourself free from that control. My next book, which hoping to start writing soon, and I don't know if this is the final title, but I essentially want to call it High-Tech Feudalism. High-tech feudalism, as in, you can get anything you want. You can get cheap goods from China, you can get a TV, you can get all these material things, but you are a slave. You are a slave to masters who own you, and you don't even know that you are a slave. It's like the Federal Reserve. I mean, the Federal Reserve creates an inflation, and that inflation is essentially a hidden tax, and you don't even know that you're being taxed. You have no idea you're being taxed. When the Federal Reserve comes and writes a check for trillions of dollars and says, hey, we're going to give this to Congress so they can spend money on a bunch of useless stuff and give money back to their friends who got them into office, then you are getting taxed for it. It is inflation, and it's hidden. You have no idea. Throughout history, countries and people have seen taxes and rebelled against their government for taxes. That's why the revolution happened in this country in the first place, right? The revolution happened because of taxes from Great Britain. But now people don't know their taxes are being raised because of this inflation. They just think, oh, that's just natural. That's just how it goes. It's not natural how it goes, like with inflation that way. It is because of the Federal Reserve. It is because of the big banking industries. It is because of so many people ahead of us, on top of us, who are doing all of this, okay? Who are in control of what is going on. Am I right, Taylor?
Will Witt exposes the dark underbelly of the swamp.
It's there, man. It's
Will Witt Live.
I hate that it has to be exposed. It's like we're talking about the mainstream media. I mean, we talk about the mainstream media all the time and how it's lies. I hate that not liking the mainstream media or not trusting the mainstream media is a conservative talking point. You know, saying fake news, like that's a conservative talking point. It should be an American talking point. Every single American should not trust the mainstream media. At least to a degree of looking at it and taking a second look at other alternative sources as well, at least to that much. But people don't. People don't. I mean, these mainstream media corporations are bought out. They're bought out. They have huge investors and they want them to say a certain thing.
Speaking of, this would be a good time to show that Pfizer video.
Yeah, let's show that Pfizer video. I have a lot of videos open. Okay, here it is. Let's open this up. All right. Enjoy.
Speaking of the mainstream media being bought out, this ought to shed some light on what we're talking about here.
Enjoy, my fellow people.
Is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front,
brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This Weather Report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press Data Download, brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning, sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet, sponsored by Pfizer.
Is brought to you by Pfizer.
Will Anomaly Live, brought to you by Pfizer. Not really, okay? I will not take money from Big Pharma. You can trust me 100% on that, and I never will, okay? I refuse to. I refuse to do that. Here's the scary part, okay? We're just talking about the mainstream media. The mainstream media is bought. Yes, many of the mainstream networks, 70% of many of these mainstream networks' entire ad revenue comes from Big Pharma, Okay? 70% of their ad revenue comes from big pharma. So do you think that any of these big major news corporations are going to say anything bad about Pfizer or any of these other people? Of course not. Of course they're not, because they are owned. They are bought and sold, just like the politicians. The politicians are all bought out by big pharma as well, spending millions upon millions of dollars in lobbying every single year for elections. They're spending millions of dollars. So you think the politicians are going to do anything about it? No, of course not. I just saw a thing today about how much money Facebook lobbied for. I retweeted it. You guys can check my Twitter. About how much Facebook lobbied for this last year. I mean, so much money. You think that the politicians are going to do anything about big tech censorship when they're getting millions of dollars from big tech? Of course not. Of course not. They're going to do nothing about it. And then you have the members of Congress, where Pfizer is now the fifth most traded stock out of congressmen. Fifth most traded stock. That is insider trading. How do you think these congressmen who have $150,000 salaries are now worth $200 million? That is just insane. That blows my mind. For real, it does blow my mind. It blows my mind that we have let people get away with such a degree of evil, that we can have people in this country that we can continually be fooled by and think that they're doing something incredibly helpful for us, or they're supposed to be in there to represent us as our elected officials. But when you have elected officials who can be bought and sold like bargaining chips, you no longer have a country. Because we have a constitution, we have a Declaration of Independence, we have founding documents, all of these different things that are supposed to protect our individual rights. That is what they were made to do, okay? The government is not there to protect your individual rights. Or that is what the government is supposed to do, okay? Protect your individual rights and then get out of the way. But if these people will not stand with the Constitution and they will not stand with the Declaration of Independence, where do you go from here? Who holds these people accountable? What are you supposed to do if the people who are in charge that we put into office will not do anything about it? Where do you go from here as a country? I am genuinely worried. I am genuinely very worried about America, because I don't know where things are going to go. I don't know. I don't think the founding fathers had any idea just how powerful some of these congresspeople could be, how powerful some of these mega corporations could be, and how much control so many of these people could have over
Federal Reserve, too.
The Federal Reserve. I mean, all of it. They had no idea about these kind of things. Like, some of these corporations, like these big pharma corporations, are more powerful than countries. I mean, seriously, they're more powerful than entire countries. They have higher GDPs than entire countries in this world. And they are multinational. They feel like if a company like Pfizer is multinational, okay, it's giving out things all across the world, then it doesn't feel like it even needs to align with the U.S. Constitution. It doesn't have to follow the Bill of Rights. It doesn't have to do any of those kind of things, because it is worldwide and it is national now. I mean, they feel like they are above the U.S. government. They literally are. They're above the U.S. government in some ways. The big tech companies, Amazon, they feel like they are above the U.S. government. They're more powerful than especially they are, because no one will do anything about it.
There's an article I sent you earlier this week. It said BlackRock has, I think, nearly $10 trillion in assets that they manage, which is more than the GDP of every single country besides the US and China.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
$10 trillion of assets. And you think that, like, and people think that this, like, is just normal. Like, this is normal.
I don't know if they think it's normal so much as just don't know what it's going on, which is...
They have no idea what's going on.
And it can be, like, eye-rolly sometimes to keep going back to some of this stuff, but it's... Step one of solving problems is understanding reality. And you cannot start to work towards solutions unless you understand the lay of the land and what the problem actually is. And so that's why it's important to really... not just trust the mainstream media, like Will was talking about before, for your sources, because they're not going to tell you who's pulling the strings behind them or who they're beholden to or even the full narrative. They're just going to do whatever gives them profit or whatever makes the people happy whose pockets that they're in. So you have to start by getting your own information and digging deeper than whatever the mainstream narrative is out there. But I think that's what we talk about with these. Like, we watched this Brave New World video this last week from Academy of Ideas, and we're too often so content to just stay in our little bubbles of social media and, you know, get the next dopamine hit from our feed, or simply stay in our bubbles of safe conservatism. Oh, the bad stuff hasn't reached my neighborhood yet. And so if you're content to be ignorant, but the problem is the shadow of Mordor is extending all over Middle Earth. And while you're, you know, asleep in Hobbiton, and you have to understand what's going on and see the call to adventure and get out there and get engaged in the battle and take the One Ring and cast it into the fire. I don't know how we always end up on Lord of the Rings references, but it's a great metaphor.
It's the best.
It happens all the time because it's a transcendent work of art and fiction that reflects reality. And so you can use it as a metaphor in so many ways. But anyways,
No, it's like when Pippin and Merry are talking in Fangorn. He's like, let's go back to the Shire, Merry. And he's like, there won't be a Shire, Pip.
Exactly.
That's exactly what this is like. It's exactly what this is like. Because there won't be a Shire anymore. There's not going to be a Shire anymore. And there's like...
Amala's in the chat. She said, every time I leave, you guys start with Lord of the Rings.
Oh, sorry. This is the only Amala I know. Yeah. So I don't know other Amala. This is a beautiful Amala here. The opinions coming out of this Amala are probably my favorite Amala opinions that I've seen.
I agree with everything Amala has said today.
Amala, you're really doing a good job today.
This is Amala's best performance on the show ever.
Thank you. But it's like, you know, you're saying before about kind of like beating a dead horse. But, you know, if people don't understand where we're coming from, it's like imagine trying to talk to people about these kinds of things and they have no idea the facts or information behind it. And then you're arguing about terms and definitions and all that. And it's like you can't even have a productive conversation because you guys didn't know terms. You guys didn't even establish the framework for what you're talking about or debating. So everything is just convoluted and it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense what you're talking about if you're not coming from the same place. That's incredibly important. That's not just about this. That's about everything. You know, I tweeted the other day and I got called a leftist by some people. I was talking about income inequality in this country that, you know, now the top 1% owns more than the entire middle class in this country, that's wild to me. That was pretty crazy to me. You know, income inequality is not a bad thing when everyone's getting more wealthy, okay? If the middle class is getting more wealthy, the poor are getting more wealthy, and the wealthy are getting more wealthy, income inequality is a good thing. But when you have the middle class disappearing in this country, people are getting more poor, we're having more people becoming homeless, 1 in 5 Californians living below the poverty line, and the rich keep getting richer, I think that tells you something that I don't think basic conservative media will tell you. I think there's a lot more going on here than people will let you off to tell you, okay? And I get called a leftist for saying things like that, for complaining about income inequality. But it's getting worse. It is definitely getting worse in a sense that the middle class is being destroyed in this country. They no longer want to have a middle class in America. Right. They want to have you as a serf, and then have the upper elite people who can have anything they want. It's like the upper elites talking about no more private jets. We got to limit our carbon footprint, or you know, we got to get rid of steak by the year 2023 to save the climate. It's like you think they're going to give up steak or private jets? Of course not. But they want the rest of us to. They want the rest of us to be poor and not doing any of these things, so that they can live their lavish lifestyles. They want us to be serfs. They literally want us to be serfs, controlled entirely by them. Okay. That was like 25 minutes just on that.
Ranting.
Yeah, I know. We didn't even get into any of the other stories.
Okay. Will's been on the road for 3 weeks and had a lot to get off his chest. So.
I know. Well, it was nice to, you know, go to some of my speeches and do some of my speeches. And if you guys went to any of my speeches, you will know that I was able to say some things in my speeches that I can't say online because of censorship, and they will deem these videos horrible and they will take them down and label them as false information and potentially give strikes on our account. So I can't say everything that I always want to say, but when I'm at a speech, I'm in person, I can say whatever I want. And so I love giving speeches. So I hope that some of you guys who came to my speeches got to hear me say some absolutely bonkers things. That's the idea. I'm a big fan of unpopular ideas. Unpopular ideas are the ideas that made the West. If it wasn't for a small handful of people with an unpopular idea, we would never have America. Okay? So be proud of your unpopular ideas. Don't feel ashamed for having...
But the sun revolves around the earth, Will. What are you talking about?
Oh, yes. Galileo, you are destroying the world. Starting another skit, I think, but we're going to end it because I lost it. All right, guys, if you didn't know, today's probably, I would say probably the most important day of the year. It's my favorite holiday, for sure. I think I'm sure it's Amala's favorite holiday, too. Today is Latina Equal Pay Day. It's recognized on October 21st, highlighting income inequality for Latino workers and marking the day that they catch up to what their white, non-Hispanic male counterparts earned in the previous year. Are you excited to celebrate tonight?
I'm having some tacos made by Latina workers at a taco stand tonight to celebrate.
That's good. No, I'm going to give a lot of money tonight. to Latina Women Causes.
No, so this is one. Today is two Woke Causes Day. It's Latina
Equal Pay
Day.
What's the other one?
And then it's also
Spirit Day. What does that mean?
And Twitter forcibly made both of these things to trend, even though people weren't talking about them. They have the choice to put as the trend whatever they want to show us and shove in our faces. So today was the Spirit Day.
What is Spirit Day?
Show the camera three right here. This is it's officially Spirit Day on the East Coast. Go purple now and support LGBTQ youth. Take the pledge to stand against bullying. So, okay. It's a cause. No one wants to see anyone bullied. That's not what
it's about bullying gay kids?
Yeah, it's like an awareness about bullying against LGBT kids, which, okay, no one's in support of bullying LGBT kids, but the point is Twitter shoves these two things in our faces today. And then yesterday was, International Pronouns Day. And even the State Department of the United States made a big announcement of that while the world is, China's launching hypersonic rockets all over the world. And here we're concerned about pronouns. So, the Twitter is shoving these things in our faces every day. And apparently every single day I find out that there's a new woke cause to be concerned about that it's internationally should be celebrated. So I think maybe we are just out of touch with the times, Will, and we wore the wrong hats today. We should have worn pronoun hats and
you should have worn purple hats apparently. Yeah. I'm reading on the website what Spirit Day is. They think that like we're stuck in a 1980s movie or something, where the gay kids are getting bullied by all the jocks or something. It's like, is that happening? Maybe I'm out of the loop because I'm not in school right now.
I feel like you.
If I had to guess, if I had to make a wild assertion, I would assume that gay kids are not just getting bullied to no end by the white high school football players anymore. Okay? I'm just putting it out there. I'm sure that it's happened. Okay? I'm not going to say it's not happened. But to think that this is some sort of epidemic? No way.
No, and if anything, who's emboldened to bully these days? It's the blue-haired leftist woke people.
Exactly, bullying the conservative kids.
Yeah, and they use all these causes to bully people who disagree with them or people who just want to be left alone into supporting, like, oh, why aren't you wearing your rainbow shirt today, Will? Are you anti-gay?
No,
wear
I'm
the rainbow
anti-gay.
Shirt. It's like, no, I just wanted to wear whatever shirt I'm going to wear. Well, no, that's not good enough. You have to wear the rainbow shirt.
You want a swirly? Huh? Maybe you should have worn your rainbow shirt, nerd. And then I'm getting the swirly just because I didn't want to wear a rainbow shirt. That's how it goes nowadays. I'm interested. LGBTQ youth disproportionately face bullying and harassment because of their identities. Each year, millions go purple for Spirit Day to support LGBTQ youth. How have I never heard of this? Millions go purple? I've never heard of Spirit Day before in my entire life.
Well, we had Gay Pride Month, or what is it called? Pride, just Pride Month. It's just Pride.
Pride Month.
They don't want to associate it with any one.
Yeah. It used to be Gay Pride Month. Now it's Pride.
LGBTQ2Spirit IAA++ 21.
Yep.
So we had that in June, right? That's the Pride Month. And now it's
Gay History Month.
Is it just Gay History Month or is it LGBTQ+IA History Month?
I don't know. I've been learning all about your past this month, so I don't know what it is. I think it's Gay History Month, or it's LGBTQ History Month. I don't know. I mean, it's the same, right? I don't know.
And then we started this
learning
month
history.
With Indigenous Peoples Day.
It was Indigenous Peoples Day. It's really Columbus Day. Celebrating Columbus Day, by the way.
You need like a daily calendar to know what woke thing I'm supposed to be excited about each day when I get up out of bed. They should just have an app that like gives you a notification every morning. I mean, they basically do. It's called Twitter. It's called the mainstream media.
I know.
It's called social media, big tech, anyone. They just push this stuff everywhere. You can't go outside your home without, or you don't even have to leave your home. You wake up in bed and there's like 10 notifications. Oh, today's the day to celebrate pronouns. Like, get out of my face, dude.
They literally call this on their website right here, as you can see. They call it an epidemic. They literally call this an epidemic, but there are no... here are the stats. Okay, let's see what these stats say. 70.1% of LGBTQ students report being verbally harassed. 71% of LGBTQ students report hearing homophobic remarks from teachers and or school staff. Because from school staff and teachers?
They would be fired immediately.
That's what I'm saying.
If you reported any staff member for saying anything remotely critical of anyone for their sexuality, as long as it's not straight, they would be fired immediately.
100%. You're telling me that we fired 71% of teachers in America? This is just like, I don't know. Listen,
If the left can lie to you about white privilege and say that white privilege is this horrible thing and someone like me is privileged just because of the color of my skin, they can lie about anything, okay? Just because they have this fancy website numbers. I don't know. It just seems like, it seems like a lot. I don't know, okay? Well, I don't want anyone getting bullied like that. Horrible, all right? I don't want anyone who's LGBTQ to get bullied and made to feel horrible about who they are. I'm just saying, I don't know if all the numbers add up. That's all I'm trying to say. Seems like they make a big deal about a lot of things, okay? That's all I'm saying. All right. We're talking about Latina Equal Pay Day, and I did a video where I asked people about the wage gap, and I thought it would be a fun trip down memory lane to go and watch some of this video.
What's up, guys? This is Will Witt with PragerU. Today we're at California State University Northridge. Again, you guys remember this campus. And we're talking to women about the wage gap and whether they think it's real. Let's do it. Do you think the gender wage gap is real?
I do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I do.
Why do you think that?
I believe it because I've seen research in classes that I've actually taken here.
How do you stop the gender wage gap?
That's a great question. I think we have to take a look at our government and our understanding of capitalism and consumerism and kind of start working there and work backwards.
If you had like a business...
Yeah, dude. That's exactly what we gotta do. Gotta work on capitalism and consumerism to dismantle the gender wage gap.
You know what I mean? And they could pay women 77 cents for every dollar that a man would make. That would be like capitalism. So they would hire all women.
I suppose in a sense I'm following what you're saying, but...
I think they probably couldn't do that because then they would be accused of being sexist against men.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's why the whole gender wage gap thing seems a little weird. Do you think that women might get paid less because they choose jobs that pay less?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think anybody chooses a career where they would make less money than possible.
I don't think that's like a women choosing issue. I think that there's issues within academia as well that we're not doing a great job at promoting women in those fields.
You mad at me?
Not yet.
Disappointed? I've given pretty good evidence. So.
It's clear that you've done your research.
Yeah. If I said that male nerd.
Bang.
She was a good sport.
She was great. And you'll see a little bit more in a second. But women do choose careers that make less money, on average. Not because they choose to make less money, but because the careers that women choose earn less money than many of the male-dominated careers.
They're also higher in agreeableness and have a more difficult time during the salary negotiations.
It's very hard, okay? You have to be a monster.
That's Jordan Peterson.
A female monster. Yeah, well, they choose jobs that pay less
true.
Money.
Yeah,
nurses, teachers, these types of jobs that women usually dominate, they make
and
less
different
money.
Different lifestyles, and there's so many factors that explain it before discrimination.
Right, and most women choose those out of free will. They're not being forced to become nurses or elementary school teachers or social workers or any of these other female-dominated professions. They choose to do those things. That is what they choose to do.
Just like Will chose to be a social media influencer.
That's right. A field dominated by women. But I am breaking the glass ceiling.
Exactly.
You know,
equal
I'm very proud of it. Yeah, no, I only make 77% on every butt pic that I post compared to the women, but it's...
Will makes 3 cents a dollar for every butt pic that he puts online versus
yeah.
women.
Yeah, no, listen, the margins are high, but I still...
When are we going to have a male social media influencer equal pay day?
Seriously, I can sell tea and yoga pants just as well as anyone else, okay? I can do your job. It's not that hard.
Nurses make more than female nurses.
That's a huge issue.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Why do I think males make more than females? I have no idea. They shouldn't.
They make more because they work longer hours and they are more willing to move for better positions.
I don't think that that's true.
I think...
It is true.
That it is... A lot of the times, highly situational. I think that's the conclusion that I'm coming to for by what you're saying.
So I think that society has kind of driven women to be attracted to one or more different job fields.
Women are like expected to stay home for their kids and yada 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 for like their family, but like men don't have that, you know, like burden.
Do you think women would rather choose to do that than keep up with men in these high-paying jobs and try and compete with men?
I think women just have more of a heart to like take care of their family than to decide on, you know, continuing to work.
Why do you think that men choose that and women don't?
Because women have more of a heart than men do.
There you go. I agree. I agree. Women and men make different career choices because women are better than men.
Thank you. I'm so glad he finally owned up to that.
The wage gap is not due to sexism or something, you know, that you can't control. It's based on the choices that men and women make, and that's why there's a gap between pay.
The choices that men and women make sometimes are driven by the opportunities that they have, which is driven by sexism. There are lots of choices that are being made for us because the opportunities aren't there.
Right now in STEM field, it's like 3-1 women are favored for jobs over men.
But that's not being shown right now in leadership.
Maybe it's not as big as we think it is. It's like clearly smaller incidents where the situation happens, but maybe it's not as large.
Yeah. Hey, there's no denying that there's sexism in the world or anything like that. But the way that I see it is, you know, why hinder your business by hiring men for a dollar when you could pay women 77 cents for every dollar? You know what I mean? If you're a business owner, all you want is money. So sexism really has no place in capitalism. And that's...
Sorry to interrupt. We're from the licensing office, and there's certain rules when it comes to, like, filming. We just want to know where your group was from.
We're from Prager University. We're a nonprofit.
Okay. And did you have permission to film?
No. This is a public campus.
So you, because normally you have to go through our communications office, like when news crews come on campus, in order to get permission to film.
Yeah. No, this is a public campus, okay. So you're allowed to be on a public campus and film.
I know that.
Yeah, we didn't get permission.
So you guys are from Prager University?
Prager U. Yep.
Okay. 1 second.
Yeah. No, they can't shut us down. It's a public university. Call the cops.
Oh, man. Call the cops, baby. Call mommy. That
I
was
never
like,
saw that ending. That's
yeah.
That
was. Yeah, they called. They tried to. Someone tried to get me kicked off campus. They try and act like I don't know my stuff. Of course I know my stuff. I've been doing this a long time, baby. I know what I'm doing. You can't just kick me off of a public campus. It's a public campus, which means that I am essentially your employer. I am paying that lady's salary. That's what I'm doing. I should fire her. For doing that. But seriously, I mean, that's what it is. You can go to a public campus. You can film. You don't need a permit. It is publicly taxpayer-funded campus.
What was your name again? Oh, Karen? Yeah, this is going on your performance report.
Yeah, I'll see you in 6 months. And we'll be having a long discussion about this at your yearly
review. It's like when Dwight was going to go to Cornell, and then Andy was like his interviewer, and then Dwight was like, well, I'm evaluating your interviewer skills, and I'm going to send that to Cornell.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. That's exactly how it was. Call the cops, lady. Call the cops.
No, that was great.
Okay, this is a great video. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen this. This just came out. All right. Watch.
There's no audio, is there?
No. It's security footage, so no audio. Look at that guy. We'll watch it again.
One more time.
One more time.
So if for those of you listening, burglars come in with a gun pointed at the register and in a convenience store, and this dude just turns around and snatches the gun out of the burglar's hands, wrestles him to the ground, and the other one runs out. So, based.
How cool is that?
And turns out he was a Marine veteran.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
Yeah.
Once a Marine, always a Marine. That's so cool. I mean, it's like, that's what it takes to be a man. Can you imagine any of these college kids on a campus if someone came in and they're about to rob the store, what they would do?
They get offended by cis white males going into their safe space dorm. We got this article, and maybe Will can pull it up, but there was at some liberal university, I think a trans student was upset and wrote an op-ed complaining about how the guys that came in to fix the AC in their safe space dorm, it's a safe space for women and trans people, were cis white males. And so the people who came to fix their heating or whatever were cis white males. And so that was cause for him to be so upset that he wrote an op-ed. Could you imagine if that guy was standing in this convenience store at that time? I would tell you they would have no money left in the cash register. Someone actually probably would have gotten hurt. And not the burglar. Yeah, here's the article.
What would have been worse is if his feelings were hurt. That's what would have really mattered, okay?
Well, his feelings were hurt, and so he wrote an article crying about it.
That's insane.
Yeah, check it out.
Women in trans safe space. Cisgender men? Why don't you fix your own air conditioning unit then, huh? If you're so great. Peter Ray Witzer attends $80,000 a year Oberlin College in Oberlin, Ohio. He wrote an op-ed Friday in campus newspaper. Frey Witzer complained of cisgender men sent to install radiators in dorm room. He lives in Baldwin Cottage, a safe space for women and transgender students. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he criticized, what does it say? He criticized the school for not installing radiators during the summer so that the men wouldn't invade his safe space.
How delusional do you have to be? Legitimately delusional. Like, that is delusional. There is no other word around it. That is straight up psycho. To think that that's like if I'm sitting in my house and a black guy comes in to fix my internet and I start saying he's hurting my white safe space because he's black. How wild is that? That is psycho. That's literally psycho.
It's the same logic, yeah.
You to think that you have to write a paper about someone who looks different than you coming into your space? Oh my goodness. That's craziness. That's literally craziness. I don't know what else to say. That is a crazy person. You have to be a crazy person to say that. Legitimately.
But he's paying $80,000 a year for an education that's
which
teaching
shows
him to,
that he's a crazy
to be a
person.
Victim. And yeah, I mean, but I'm sure he's learning plenty about gender studies and how to look at history with a critical lens and find racism in every interaction and all this type of stuff. And meanwhile, these guys know how to actually fix things and come into his house, and they probably will make way more money doing their trade. Speaking of, check out our new trade school documentary, Trading Up, at PragerU.com, available now. The whole premise of that is like, you can go to a trade school, learn how to have a job that actually contributes to society, when so many and make more money, have no debt, own a home, make a great living. And while these kids are going to these super expensive woke universities, getting useless degrees, and then sitting on their couch and collecting government checks after they graduate and complaining about society and how you were a cis white person coming into their house to fix their broken radiator. It's like, kick rocks, dude.
Yeah, kick rocks.
Pound sand.
Those are both great.
I know.
Are so good.
I want to do a segment where it's called Kick Rocks, and we just find stuff like this and tell woke people to kick rocks.
That's great. That's a good segment. Right? We should bring that up. Yeah, that's a really good segment. Here's what's going on, okay? Imagine D-Day, all right? 1940s. We have to storm the beaches of Normandy, all right? And this is one of the men who gets drafted. What do we do? Our country is so screwed. We are so screwed up right now. Our military is full of woke losers. The leadership in the military.
Yeah, concerned about white rage.
Concerned about white rage and how many trans people are in the military. They don't care about actually defending our country. And then the people who could potentially become military servicemen are the weakest people that America has ever seen. I mean, this is legitimately the weakest generation of people. Who can't handle someone coming in to their home who looks different than them, who might like someone of the opposite sex. I mean, you really have to be a weak person to write something like that. Legitimately. That is a mind-blowing article. That is legitimately mind-blowing. I am blown.
This is the world we're living in.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right, let's talk about CRT.
Critical race theory was trending on Twitter today, yet again, and the left continues to say the right doesn't even know what it is. Well, it's not even the right. It's just everyday people. Anyone who's critical of critical race theory does not even know how to define it or what they're talking about. So our friend James Lindsay, who did a 5-minute video for us at PragerU.com, also did a 2-minute video on his Twitter the other day explaining what critical race theory is in 2 minutes and exposing it for what it is. So let's take a listen and see what he has to say about critical race theory.
Everybody says we can't define it. Well, my name is James Lindsay, and I've been studying this stuff for a while, and I'm making an encyclopedia on my website called newdiscourses.com. The encyclopedia is called Translations from the Wokish, and I can tell you what critical race theory is. They say we can't define it. Well, let's break it down. Let's define it. Critical race theory is a movement in scholarship, activism, and especially law and getting into education in other fields that's designed to reconsider the relationship between race, racism, and power. To be more frank about it, it is the belief that the fundamental organizing principle of society is racism, and that this racism was created by white people specifically to oppress people of other races, and that they maintain that racism so that they can maintain their own advantage in society. That's what critical race theory is all about. We could also say that it's a neo-Marxist strategy to make use of racial minorities to try to make way for a cultural revolution in America, just like Herbert Marcuse wrote in 1969 in his so-called Essay on Liberation. So that's another thing that critical race theory actually is. It is the attempt to use race to break open America for a communist-style revolution based now in equity rather than in pure communism. So critical race theory is pretty easy to understand. It's a belief system that believes that the ordinary state of affairs in our society is racism, that racism hides itself rather than gets better, has permanence to it, and it takes somebody called a critical race theorist to be able to find that racism, call it out, and hopefully bring us to a place where we can overthrow the entire system. It throws out the idea of step-by-step progress or incrementalism. It wants to overhaul the entire system in a social and cultural revolution that it's going to lead to bring us to a post-racial utopia that it hopes for. That's what critical race theory actually is. Another way to put that is it's maybe the best parts of communism and the best parts of racism, two terrible, terrible ideas mixed together to break America. If you want to learn more about...
Good video. Thanks, James. Here's what I think critical race theory is. Here's what I think the essence of it is, that I have come to this conclusion. Okay? Critical race theory is fake individualization. What do I mean by this? I mean that people who spout critical race theory, who talk about these gender things, who talk about this race stuff, will come and tell you that because you are black, because you are gay, because you are trans, because of whatever intersectionality you are somehow unique. You are unique for being black. You are unique for being gay. You are unique for being trans. This is what they will tell you. But in reality, none of those things make you unique. Okay? I'll say that again. None of those characteristics make you unique. Because what do they forget? They forget that your name is Jeffrey, and you like piano, and you study theology, and maybe you like wearing sombreros, and you like to cook, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you like to do, okay?
Jeffrey sounds like a great guy.
Jeffrey's a great guy on Taco Tuesdays, let me tell you. On Latina Equal Pay Day, he's a lot of fun. But Jeffrey is standing right next to Marcus, and maybe Jeffrey and Marcus look and like the same sex and all that. They look exactly alike, but they have totally different ideas, and they have totally different ways of thinking. But the left and the CRT pushers will tell you that because you look this certain way, you are unique. And so because of your uniqueness, you have to think a certain way exactly like them. And they put you into this collective bubble through the guise of individualization. When in reality, being a real individual is understanding that you are the smallest minority because you are different than every single other person. You have similarities, of course, many similarities. But as a whole, you are an individual person made in the image of God. And that is what really drives you apart from other people. Don't let these people drive you apart from other people by saying that because you're black or gay or Hispanic or whatever, that you need to make a wedge between other people who don't look like you or don't think that certain way sexually, whatever it is. None of that matters. None of that makes you unique. What makes you unique is you being an individual with all of your unique characteristics and you pursuing truth. They want to turn you into a collective. You are an individual. That is my what CRT is to me, what really the essence of it is. Because the left is all about controlling us as a collective. And I believe in individualism, 100% entirely. It has been my main focus of my speeches that I've been giving for my book tour. All about being an individual. Because I think that that is really more important than anything in the world.
Amen. That was really well said. I got like Mr. Rogers vibes while you're talking. That's like the nicest tone I've ever heard you like explain something divisive and critical that I think I've ever heard you take. But it was very on the nose. And you're right. It is an anti-individualistic sort of ideology. And really, it's more like a religion because these people are setting themselves up. Like you said, the critical race theorists, people, or in other words, just woke people, critical theorists, are setting themselves up as the arbiters who can help you identify your internalized racism, your internalized oppression, and can tell you, you don't need God to tell you who you are. I can tell you who you are. You are oppressed. You are a victim of this system. But if you follow my religion and listen to me, I can expose all the ways that you're oppressed and I can help you mobilize you in a purpose, and they give you a false purpose, and that false purpose is what? Dismantling the system of oppression that's holding you back, you poor, oppressed, black, trans, midget person. I'm sorry, it's little person. I can't say those words.
You can say that.
I don't know, whatever. But the point is they're using your own sense of victimhood as a way to manipulate you and a way to mobilize you toward their nefarious cause, which is to usher in a communist-style revolution and to take down America. That's why the anti-American sentiment goes hand in hand with their whole victimization and oppression and everything. Who's the bad guy in everything? It's always America. It's always the West. It's always the patriarchy. It's always Judeo-Christian values and ideals and the norms of our culture and the traditions that we have. And that it all is trying to mobilize people to serve the purpose of willingly saying, rejecting everything that's brought us to where we are and everything that America's built on and everything that our culture has built on and everything that made us the unique, successful, prosperous, most powerful, awesome society that the world has ever seen. And dismantling that and hating it, hating ourselves, having white guilt, and flipping everything on its head, all in favor, also that they can usher in their idea of a utopia. And of course, they know better than every other communist regime or every other totalitarian dictator or every other Marxist ideologue that's ever held the reins of power. They're going to do much better than Venezuela. They're going to do much better than Cuba or Pol Pot or Idi Amin or Stalin or Xi Jinping or whomever it may mm-hmm. be. They're not going to, you know, if they're given the One Ring, back to a Lord of the Rings reference, of course they're going to use it for good. And through them, it's not going to wield the power too great and terrible to imagine. Of course not.
It always goes back every single time.
And all roads lead back to Lord of the Rings and the Bible.
Mm-hmm. There's no telling where you might be swept off to. you have no idea. Guys, Amala, did you enjoy the show today? Yeah, I did too, buddy. Really good show today. Thanks, Amala. Appreciate it. Guys, if you enjoyed this show, make sure you go on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. You can listen to our show if you don't want to watch it, or you don't have the time, or you're watching this later and you want to just listen to it on your run, in your car, whatever. I got to meet so many amazing people these last couple weeks on my tour, and so many of you guys watch the show, and you're like, I love the show. We just got this girl last night wrote us all these different letters for Taylor, Amala, and I, which was really, really sweet, really appreciated. And all you guys, I mean, it was amazing to hear. So I'm so glad that you guys are enjoying the show, every single thing that we do. That's fantastic. Make sure that you're following me on social media at The Will Witt, at Amala Epinobi. And we will be back tomorrow at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, here on YouTube and Facebook for Fun Friday with Will and Amala Live. Thanks so much for watching, guys. Peace.